Prayer requests. We love you. God bless.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those in elected office. September 21st, the city of Port St. Lucie is holding a special election for mayor and city council, District 3. FloridaVotesValues.com has produced a voter guide for this special election. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to find out where the candidates stand on issues that matter to you. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Years ago yesterday, our country experienced the largest ever attack on U.S. soil in the attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the thwarted attack on the White House where the plane was brought down before it hit the White House. If you were alive and old enough to remember, and I have to add that because there were some people that were alive but not old enough to remember, like our son Joshua, who was just a little bit over 1 month old. Do you remember? He doesn't remember 9/11 and what happened. But for those that were alive and old enough to remember, you probably know where you were when you heard about the World Trade Centers being attacked. You probably saw the video that day. I remember seeing the first World Trade Center hitting the first World Trade Center at my house. And then I remember going to work and turning on the old tube television with the rabbit ear antennas and watching the second plane hit the second World Trade Center. I remember people turning to God in prayer, churches being opened every day of the week, and people coming into those churches and praying and crying out to God. Republicans and Democrats getting together, even those who are in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate, getting together and actually praying on behalf of this country and crying out to God and praying and singing God Bless America. We saw the stock market was actually closed the rest of that week. That day on September 11th and the rest of that week, which was 4 days that the stock market was closed. The stock market actually took a big hit when it did reopen the Monday after, and over the course of that week continued to decline. Football was not played. The NFL did not play football games the following Sunday. The entire world prayed for America. That Sunday after that, we actually preached a sermon calling for God, calling really for America to repent and to turn back to God. We actually, my brother and myself and my dad all preached that day. And I preached from the opening passage from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And I went on to say the United States of America has has enjoyed the greatest of God's blessings and protection over the years. The Lord has guarded our cities and our country from attack from within and without. Yet the Lord wasn't guarding our city, 911. And many may ask, why was he not guarding our city? I will say that it is because we as a nation have left his commandments. We as a nation have departed from the principles, the moral foundation that this nation was founded upon. Many, even those those in church, have thought that America is so great that God couldn't possibly fulfill his purposes in this earth without America. The Israelites once thought that. After 30, 40, or even 70 years of captivity and oppression for some of them, they realized that God can accomplish his purposes without his chosen people. And we're not even his chosen people. Now the church is, the Christians are, but God hasn't come down and said, America is my chosen nation. Now our forefathers did make a covenant with God, and that covenant does bring blessings when we obey God's commandments, and it brings curses when we disobey his commandments. And we have disobeyed the commandments of God. And God promises in his word to judge any nation that violates his precepts. I warned about this in 1989 or 1990 when I preached a sermon at this church, Covenant Tabernacle, warning that this nation was going to experience the judgment of God if we didn't turn and repent. Sadly, we haven't turned until now. 911 was a wake-up call for Americans to turn back to God. It was a call for his church to fall on our faces and cry out on behalf of this nation. Oh God, may this nation once again serve you. May this nation once again honor you. May this nation once again fear your name and obey your commandments. May we once again have pastors and political leaders who would call this nation to repent before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. May we turn to God and serve him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our being. Psalm 127, we actually read this again this morning as an opening passage. And we do have a Bible here that has historical quotes in it. That Bible actually said that Dwight D. Eisenhower took his oath of office on with his hand on Psalm 127 and also on 2 Chronicles 7:14. In this nation, we have a strong and long heritage of Christians crying out to God, and our leaders, our pastors, and even our political leaders calling for us to turn to God in prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon, unless the Lord guards or builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Unfortunately, America, which was awakened by 9/11, quickly fell back asleep. We no longer have Christians praying for America for the most part. I mean, certainly Christians do pray for America, but not as fervently as is needed and not as fervently as happened right after 9/11. In fact, we have continued to sin and to violate his commandments and his precepts. This is borne out by the fact that each and every day since 9/11, we have had about the same number of Americans killed by abortion as were killed in the World Trade Center attack, each and every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. For 20 years, millions of preborn children have been killed. We haven't ended abortion. We haven't restored righteousness. We haven't amended our ways. We're going to look this morning at the sins of America, and we're going to call this nation once again to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, to turn and to cry out to God and to seek his face and to implore him to move on behalf of this nation, to convict us of our sins, to grant us a spirit of repentance, and to move on the behalf of the church in America to shake us and to bring us to a place of repentance. The sins of America. We in this nation replaced the idea that God created the heavens and the earth, that he created you and me, with the idea that everything we see, that all of the intricacies of the universe, the intricacies of our body, the intricacies of our cells, the intricacies that we see in nature, that all of this happened out of nothing because there was an explosion. I mean, I'm not sure what could have exploded if there was really nothing. But all of this happened from nothing, and then there was an explosion, and then it all happened through random occurrences and genetic mutations. Let me tell you, the simplest cell in your body is too complex for that to have happened. And you can actually read and study. There's a book called Darwin's Black Box that actually lays that out from a scientific approach. And many of the people that don't believe in God, no longer those who are smart, those who are actually well-educated, those scientists, many of those no longer believe in evolution. They're trying to come up with other ways of our existence, including space aliens coming and creating what we see and actually inhabiting or populating the earth. But again, you have to have faith. You have to have faith to believe in God, that God is the creator, but you also have to have faith if you believe that all of this happened by chance. Now, this is really the start of everything. This is the foundation of everything, because if you believe that there is a God that created the heavens and the earth and created you, then you also believe that you are subject to his commandments. But if you believe that everything happened by chance, then you don't believe, then you believe that you can do whatever you want to, and you can actually even determine what is right and wrong for yourself. If you believe that God created you and everyone else, then you believe that you have value and everyone else has value because you're created in God's image, and you know that you need to care for one another and you need to not hurt one another. But if we are really we really did just evolve and happen by chance and random mutation, genetic mutation, random occurrences, then you can do whatever you want to with others. In fact, that may even be the survival of the fittest. But this is where it all started. And then in 1962, in the Supreme Court case Engle versus Vitale, we see that the Supreme Court removed prayer from the public schools. In 1963, in Abington versus Shimp, the court removed the Bible from education. By the way, from the foundation of this country, children learn to read so that they can read the Bible. Before America was America, the Puritans actually established the public school system so that kids could learn how to read so that they would be able to read the Bible. They read the Bible as their primary reading book, along with the New England Primer, which taught biblical principles, including a rhyming alphabet that taught biblical principles. In the 1960s, we saw a casting off of restraint and this idea that you can do whatever you want to with whomever you want to, and that there won't be any consequences. We're talking about the sexual revolution. On the heels of the sexual revolution, and right as this was happening, we saw a series of Supreme Court cases that actually invented a right of privacy. And this right of privacy was first applied to contraception of an unmarried couple, then to contraception with a married couple, then to allow the shedding of innocent blood through abortion. And since 1973, we have actually murdered more than 65 million preborn children in this nation. In 1980, in Stone versus Graham, the Supreme Court removed the Ten Commandments. By the way, the Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments on above where they sit, and on the doors of the Supreme Court, they have the Ten Commandments, yet they removed them from the public school because they said if it's on the public school, that if the Ten Commandments are in public school, that people may actually read the Ten Commandments. They may actually obey the Ten Commandments. And wouldn't that be horrible if kids weren't killing other kids? Wouldn't that be horrible if kids knew that they needed to respect their parents? If they knew that they needed to respect others, they knew not to lie, not to covet, not to cheat, not to steal. We also have seen a huge move, and including in 2003 in Lawrence versus Texas, the U.S. Supreme Court expanded the right of privacy to include homosexuality. From there, the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled that the Massachusetts law, which prohibited homosexual marriage, was unconstitutional. Then Governor Mitt Romney actually issued a public or an executive order, quote unquote, legalizing homosexual marriage. And this set off an avalanche as state after state started legalizing homosexual marriage. And we know that the U.S. Supreme Court has since ruled that homosexual marriage should be legal, that laws that prohibit and even constitutional amendments like we passed in Florida and like was passed in California, a liberal state, and in Hawaii, another liberal state, over 30 states passed constitutional amendments defining marriages between one man and one woman, yet the Supreme Court said, no, that's not what the way things are going to be. And then we've seen this huge transgender attack, where in some places, including New York, you can actually be sued if you call someone who was born a man or born a male, a man or a boy. You can be sued if you call someone who was born a female or by a female pronoun. They actually have like close to 40 different genders in New York City that you're supposed to be able to determine. Well, I don't know how you determine. I guess it's just the person determines what they are. I mean, whatever happened to listen to the science and follow the science? And this has gone forward not only to people saying, "Hey, I'm now a woman," and when they were born a male. We also have seen that courts have said, well, and legislators and city councils and county commissions have said, well, the boys can go into the girls' bathrooms and vice versa. We have seen, again, the continued slaughter of innocent children. We've seen tax dollars still going to fund Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the world. We've seen a breakdown in families. We've seen the name. We've seen people serving God in name, but really worshiping money, which is idolatry. We've seen people taking the name of the Lord in vain. In fact, even Christians do this on a regular basis, not only in what they say, but also in what they post and what they reply, their replies on social media. Whenever they use the OMG, which stands for Oh My God, let me tell you, if you're not talking to God or talking about God when you say that, you are taking God's name in vain. And this is a sin. Not honoring the Sabbath day, not honoring father and mother, murdering, even again in the womb, but also we've seen children killing children, parents killing their children, children killing their parents, stealing, lying, bearing false witness, even covetousness, to the point where we have an entire political party that is basing a lot of its principles and its guidance on coveting and showing people you need to covet the rich. The rich shouldn't have what they should have. You need to covet them and ask government to actually take more from them to give to you. This is a sin. Covetousness is a sin. We should look at those rich and thank God that they're blessed and actually work to develop the skills within ourselves so that we can actually earn more money ourselves. We've also seen that the church is not exempt, because the church, the word of God, really has departed from the church. Certainly there's passages that are preached, passages that are read in church, largely passages that make you feel good about yourself, passages that are talking about God's grace, God's goodness, but we're really not seeing a lot of preaching about holiness. In fact, people that are committing fornication and adultery and homosexuality can sit in most churches in America and feel perfectly comfortable and not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God is not going forth. The pastors are not preaching. They're not calling for people to repent of these sins. They're not preaching on things that are controversial. You know, we have to be willing to tell the truth. We have to be willing to call people to repent, to call people to turn back to God. And Christians and even pastors no longer have a biblical worldview. Only, according to a Barna study, only about 7% of Christians altogether have a biblical worldview. Mainline denominations, 2% only have a biblical worldview. Roman Catholics, only 0.5% have a biblical worldview. I mean, we look at what has transpired in this nation because of this withdrawal and this retreat from obeying God and from keeping His commandments, and this retreat from even reading the Bible on a regular basis. And I'm not just talking, I mean, you might say, well, I read a verse a day. Well, Jesus says you're supposed to abide in the Word of God. Does reading a verse a day sound like abiding in the Word of God? No, you're to read the Bible. You're to memorize it. You're to meditate upon it. You're to think about it. You're to ponder it throughout your days. We see that a rise in sexually transmitted infections at epidemic proportions. We've seen employees killing coworkers, children killing parents, parents killing children, children killing other children, the rise of terrorism on our soil and abroad. Even after fighting in Afghanistan for 20 years after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, it's going to be a very short period of time unless those people rise up, and which is not very likely. It's going to be a very short period of time where Afghanistan is in a worse shape than it was before we got there. We've seen the largest ever attack in 911 on U.S. soil, a rise in storms and natural disasters, which God says would happen for a nation that disobeys Him. We've seen rioting and looting, and even prosecutors saying we're not going to enforce the laws anymore. We need in this nation to fall on our faces before God, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek His face, to turn from our wicked ways, that He might hear from heaven, that He might forgive our sins, that He might heal our land. We need to turn back to God in this nation. We need to pray that God would grant us another great awakening, that He would shake America one more time, that He would have mercy upon us, and that He would turn us back to Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, when the multitudes of the islands would lift up their voices to you, when the coastlands would wait for your law, when the kings of this earth would kiss the sun, lest he be angry, when the fullness of the Gentiles would come in, when you would call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those in elected office. September 21st, the city of Port St. Lucie is holding a special election for mayor and city council, District 3. FloridaVotesValues.com has produced a voter guide for this special election. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to find out where the candidates stand on issues that matter to you. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. God has established WCNO as a voice, as a trumpet, as a standard against the darkness. Your prayers and financial support make this ministry possible. Please join us October the 4th through the 15th as once again we come to you with prayer and share. We will be on air every day from 7 a.m. until 6 o'clock looking to raise the needed resources for the next 6 months of our budget. You may give by going to WCNO.com or texting WCNO 224365 or calling 888-221-8990 during normal business hours. God bless you and thank you so much for your faithful support.
Take my life and consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take